Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us. Now, here's Pastor Goss.
Well, find your notes if you would. We're in a series that we've entitled, What to Do When. Have you ever faced something that just seems not to go away and you've got to deal with it and yet you don't know what to do? You ever faced something that you're confronted with and you don't feel like you've got the answers for it and you just don't know how you're going to handle it? You know, something that kind of stays there and something you've just goes on and on. This morning what we're going to talk about is, what do you do when you're overwhelmed? When you're just facing something and you just don't know how to handle it. It just seems so big. There's so many questions. There's so many issues. There's so little control. What do you do? Psalm 55 verse 1. The writer here projects the feelings we've just talked about. Listen to my prayer, O God, and do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles. My enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats. They bring trouble on me and angrily hunt me down. My heart pounds in my chest. The terror of death assaults me. Fear and trembling overwhelm me. I can't stop shaking. Oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then I'd fly away and rest. I'd fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness. Have you ever just wanted to fly away? And just, let me get out of here. Isaiah the prophet wrote in Isaiah 38, verse 13, I waited patiently all night, but I was torn apart as though by lions. Suddenly my life was over. Delirious, I chattered like a swallow or a crane, and then I moaned like a mourning dove. My eyes grew tired of looking to heaven for help. I'm in trouble, Lord. Help me. Wow. One time or another, all of us have been there. That's a part of life. It's a part of what we all go through. Being a Christian does not exempt you from those times. And maybe you're overwhelmed by guilt or grief or grudges or stress or debt or responsibilities or relationships or circumstances or health or fear or finances. Maybe there's just things going on in your life today that you just look at and think, just wish I could leave it alone. Just wish I could fly away. Don't know what to do. So how do we deal with that? What do we do when we feel that way? Well, there's probably no one in the Bible who was more overwhelmed than a young girl called Mary, the mother of Jesus. Well, what'd she have to be overwhelmed about? Luke chapter 1, verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary, and she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You'll conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." I think when she heard that, she didn't think that was favor. Do you think she was just a little bit overwhelmed? Do you think she was just, what? What are you talking about? And when you feel overwhelmed sometimes, what you have to do is exactly the opposite of what you want to do. And we're going to look at Mary here and look at how she handled this. There's three steps that she took that you and I can take to deal with life when we find ourselves in a situation that we don't know what to do about and we don't know how to handle it. And so we go to God and we talk to him and we ask him to help us, because many times you're overwhelmed right before God is going to work. So what do you do? Number one, you let go of your need to control the situation. Now, I've said this often before. I say it again, and I don't say it because I'm getting old and senile and can't remember what I'm saying. I just say it because you need to remember this. You and I are people who like to be in control. Control means we have answers. Control means I can fix it. Control means I can control it. And the more out of control we feel, please hear me, the more out of control you feel, the more overwhelmed you feel. That's what happens. And the more we feel overwhelmed, we redouble our efforts. We keep trying to fix it. We keep trying to micromanage it. We just keep trying to do something with it. Now, here's the issue. Most of life is out of your control. You don't have nearly as much control as what you think. And so when that comes to us, we panic, we give in to fear, we want to know why, how, what, you know, God, what are you doing? God, what's going on? And what I've realized in life, oh, many times, God doesn't reveal as much as he conceals. Luke 1:34, Mary asked the angel, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. How? What can happen? She didn't doubt. She didn't say no way. She said, wow. How? I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't know. What's going on? How could that be? We've all been there, haven't we? It's happening. We're going, what do I do? How do I do it? How can this take place? What? This isn't right. This isn't fair. And the angel replies to her, look, the word of the Lord will never fail. In other words, if God says it, it'll happen. How? God said it would. Nothing's impossible with God. It may be out of your control, but it's not out of God's. And when you're overwhelmed, you need to remind yourself of that fact. I am not in control here, but God is still in control. And notice a very important statement that Mary makes. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And the angel left her. No bargaining. No, well, I'll do it as long as. Just, okay, I'm willing to accept whatever you want. So let me just give you this little piece of advice. Whatever's bugging you now because you can't control it, stop worrying and start trusting. You know what we call that? We call that faith. That's faith. The first secret to peace is you let it go. I'm the Lord's servant. Whatever he's doing, I'm in. I'm okay with it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It confuses me. I can't control it. But God's in it. God's in it. In the midst of your stuff, God's still in it. Come on, come on. Okay. You say, well, and we forget that. Why do we forget that? Because we're spending so much time trying to figure everything out. Well, how's this going to work? What could I do? How could I do this? And, you know, and if you're trying to figure it out and you're trying to figure out God, you're just going to be very frustrated the rest of your life. At some point in time, you have to come and be like Mary and say, okay, God, you said it. I'm not in control here, but I know you are. God is still in control. Psalm 138, verse 8. It's a great little portion of a verse to memorize. The Lord will work out his plans for my life. Now notice that. Who's going to work them out? God, not you. The Lord will work them out. His plans. Now, here's the problem with his plans. And this is a review because we've talked about this before as well. First of all, his plans are bigger than my plans. His plans are bigger. I have no idea what God wants to do with my life. You know, but God's plans are bigger than whatever I have. I mean, Mary and Joseph, think about it. All they wanted to do was just to get married, get a little apartment, get a crock pot, and get a pet and start a family. That's all they wanted to do. Just, let's just, you know, we'll do this and this is all, come on, and we'll just begin. That's all they wanted. But you know what? God had a bigger plan. God's plan is always bigger than yours. All right, you got that? Secondly, it's more bothersome than my plan. More bothersome. It's harder. It's more difficult. It's more painful. Why is God's plans bigger? Because they're harder. Why are my plans small? Because I want them easy. I want to figure it out. I want to be in control of it. I don't want to have to go through difficulty. I just want things to smoothly work out. I don't want to have to be confused. I don't want to have to deal with issues that I'm not comfortable with. I want to have control of everything. And we say then, well, why is it so hard? We make it harder because we don't understand what God is doing. Think of the ridicule she endured. Think of the gossips. Or for you ladies, how would you like to go on a 60-mile journey on a donkey right before you deliver? Ouch. More bothersome. Thirdly, it's always better. God's plan's always better. I don't understand what you're doing. I don't know why it's going on. God, I've got a really good plan. And God goes, yeah, but I got a better one. God will sacrifice the short-term comfort for long-term glory. He's preparing us for eternity. He's preparing us for something bigger. You see, here's the deal. From Mary's point of view, this was all kind of sudden, wasn't it? But from God's point of view, He'd be planning it for 1,000 years or more. God was just waiting for the moment. For Mary, I never thought this would happen. I never thought it'd be like this. This is a shock to me, not to God. So you have to come to that place. When you're overwhelmed and when you're dealing with struggles, you need to let go of your need to control the situation. You're not in control. God is. You need, and I need, to trust Him. Got it? Secondly, let others help sustain you. Now, we struggle with the first part. We seldom do the next part. It's the opposite of what we tend to do. We tend, when we're overwhelmed, to withdraw from everyone, don't we? We tend to think, because of our ego and pride, I'll handle this. I don't want anybody to know. I'll take care of this on my own. And we withdraw. We say, leave me alone. And we just distance ourselves from people. What did Mary do? Luke chapter 1, verse 39. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived, and she entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. Now, we're told that she stayed with Elizabeth for 3 months. This will mean that Mary stayed with her until Elizabeth's time to deliver. Because remember, earlier we read she was 6 months pregnant when the angel came to Mary. So she stayed with her for 3 months. She wasn't escaping anything. She wasn't getting away, because after 3 months, she goes back home. She's not showing for the first 3 months, perhaps. She goes back home. So, what'd she do? Here's what you need to do. When you're overwhelmed, you find an Elizabeth. Okay? Any Elizabeths here this morning? I don't mean you. Well, maybe I do. Okay? What's that mean? Three things. Someone who's a godly example. Elizabeth was the wife of the priest. Elizabeth was there for her. She was a strong believer. You do not want unbelievers giving you advice. You don't want minimal Christians. How do I define that? Someone who kind of plays the game. Someone who's kind of up and down. You want somebody who's a strong believer to give you advice. You find someone who's a godly example. That means you have watched them live it out before you. Secondly, someone who has experience. Someone who's more mature. You know, if you are a parent and you've got a 6-year-old, don't go to them for advice. Don't ask your kids all the time what they should do. Now, when your kids get older, you maybe need to do that. But you need to go to someone who's got the experience. Someone who's, let me put it to you this way, someone who's smarter than you are. Someone who's wise. Someone who's mature. Someone who has the experience of time. Thirdly, someone who will empathize with us, who will empathize with us, who will listen, who will understand, who will have compassion. Now, please hear me and notice, we want sympathy, we don't want empathy. We want somebody to feel sorry for us. You don't need somebody to feel sorry for you. You already feel sorry enough. You just need somebody who's going to listen and is going to understand. We want somebody who, well, I'll come and talk to you, but don't diminish my issue. Don't look at me and say, well, that's not a big deal. It's a big deal. Okay? We don't want somebody to say, come on, let's do it like this. You know, you can handle it. I don't want that. I want somebody to feel sorry for me. I want someone to pat me on the back. I want somebody to say, oh, poor me. I want somebody to tell me, hey, you're doing the best you can. You're doing a wonderful job. Why don't you go on and keep doing it? No, I want somebody who's going to tell me the truth. Sometimes I need somebody to say, suck it up. Sometimes I need somebody to say, look, you're not trusting God like you should. We don't want to hear that when we're overwhelmed, do we? That's why we don't go to other people, isn't it? Because I don't want somebody telling me the truth. I mean, God forbid I have to live with the truth. I'm comfortable believing my lie. And you see, all the way through here, what did Mary do? She goes to someone who's there, who understands, who's more mature, who's wiser, who has the ability to help keep her in the place she needs to stay, to give her the advice she needs to hear. Someone who understands, because Elizabeth is kind of going through the same thing. Here she is pregnant, hadn't been for years. You have a young girl who's too young to be pregnant, and an old woman who's too old to be pregnant. And here they are helping each other. And you need someone in your life who's going to be honest with you, who's going to be sympathetic, who is going to empathize with you, who's going to understand with you, but is also going to tell you the truth. Ecclesiastes 4:9, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. You're not looking for somebody who will agree with you. You're not looking for somebody who will just make your situation even bigger because they're just there to support you. And you see, we live with a lot of that today, don't we? I mean, after all, if you don't support me, then you don't love me. No, I don't agree with you, but I still love you. Okay, that went over well. Galatians 6:2. Share each other's burdens, and on this day obey the law of Christ. What law? The royal law. The law that says you love others more than yourself. And when we come to a place where we're overwhelmed, we should not be carrying that burden alone. God did not make you to do that. That's why it's so important that you and I have others who will be there with us during this time so that we don't have to walk through it by ourselves. And the problem, and I've watched this over the years, is always with the people who need the help. You see, Mary didn't stay home, sitting by the phone, expecting Elizabeth to call her. Well, she's my cousin. She knows what I'm going through. She knows I need help. She should come to me. Isn't that amazing what we do? And then we get ticked off because nobody calls us. And yet we put ourselves in this place because we told people we don't want any help. Now, which way do you want it? Okay, I'll go on. No, she didn't wait for that. She went to Elizabeth, didn't she? She took the initiative. When we are overwhelmed, we expect others to come to us. Stop it. Well, you know, they should understand. They do. And they're more than willing to help if you're willing to ask for it. You see, why do we expect them to come to him? Because our pride keeps us from going to them. And when they don't, we get upset. There is no reasonable, rational reason for you to go through life by yourself. When you are overwhelmed, don't try to go it alone. Find someone who will help. And that isn't always your best friend. Don't allow your pride to keep you from getting the help that you really need. Okay? Okay. Thirdly, let God give you strength. Let God give you the strength that you need to deal with what you're going through. Well, Pastor, God helps those who help themselves. That's a lie. Well, if it's to be, it's up to me. That's a lie too. Luke 1:45. Notice what's said here. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord will do what he said. Wow. You're blessed because you believe God's word. You believe because you what God has said will come true. You believe. That gives you strength. Isaiah 43:2. When you go through deep waters, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. You will make it. Well, I know I'll make it. I'll just make it by the skin of my teeth, wherever that phrase came from, I don't know. I'll climb through. I'll be faithful to the end. Pray that God helps me get there. Now, we are more than conquerors. We're not just survivors. God says, look, I want to give you the strength that you need to deal with your situation. You don't need to run from it. You don't need to have a pity party in it. I'll give you what you need. Well, how do I find this strength? How do I get this strength? Let me give you a couple steps. Number one, tell God how good he is. Tell God how good he is. Look at what Mary did. Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Mary responded, oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Here's what you do. Get your eyes off of your circumstances and get them on God. Quit running over all the scenarios in your mind and get them on God. Oh, how my soul praises. We call this praise. God, you're great. You talk to God about his character and his nature. Praise. That's what praise is. God, here's who you are. God, I know this to be true. Well, I don't always feel like doing that. That's why many times in the Bible it's called a sacrifice of praise. I do it when I don't feel like it. I sacrifice it. And I do it anyway. Well, Pastor, is that's not really being true to my feelings. Oh, well, pardon me for your feelings. Since when do your feelings have control over you? That's a whole nother issue. But it's the truth about God, isn't it? You're not telling a lie. You're just saying the truth about God. And you need to see how big God is, because God is bigger than your circumstances. And you need to take the time to remind yourself of how great he is, and you do that by telling him how good he is. God is good. God is great. And that's what Mary did. Secondly, think about God's word. Think about God's word. Now, there's a passage that goes on from this that we call, it's entitled Mary's Song. I'm going to read it to you. We're going to read it together. Most of this passage are quotes from the Old Testament. So that when Mary is saying this, Mary's quoting scripture. You think about his word. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl, Luke 1:48. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the mighty one is holy. He has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and the haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. Mary began to take strength from God's word. Why? Because God's word is truth. Now, the problem is that when we get overwhelmed, we start manipulating God's word to fit our circumstances. We start making it say what we want it to say, and we stay away from those passages that we don't like. And Mary came right there. She gave God praise. She told herself, she told others, God, you're good. And then she begins to remind herself of what God's word has to say. For every circumstance you're going through in life, God's word has something to say to you. Always. Always. Thirdly, and you can do the first two, but if you don't do this one, you're going to miss it. Trust God's word. Trust it. It's truth. It's right. I believe it. I trust it. Luke 2:18, a little later on in the story, Mary's given birth. All who heard the shepherd's stories were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. God's goodness, God's faithfulness, God's plans, God's purpose, God's provision. God is faithful. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he'll show you which path to take. God says, look, when you're overwhelmed, I'm here to help you. But you're going to have to take some steps in order for it to happen. Now, sometimes the reason we get overwhelmed is that we treat everything with equal importance, and it's not. You know, we have this big, huge list. Well, I need to read my Bible today. I need to pray. I need to love my spouse. I need to go to the grocery store. I need to clean house. I need to do the laundry. I need to pick up the kids. I need to feed the fish. I need to stop for a new pair of shoes. I need to meet with the boss. I need to change the oil in the car. I need to prepare supper. And we got this whole list. Oh, I'm overwhelmed by it all. Hold it. It's not all equal, is it? There's a few things in life that are really important. And you have to clarify the values. And you have to look at those things that matter. And what is it that's bringing this overwhelmness into your life? And you have to make these the priorities. And you have to allow God to help you sort through what really matters. Some things are going to take care of themselves. Other things you're dealing with that you just need. No, God, I need your help here. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes to this church. Notice what he says here. He gives us some great insight and help in this time of being overwhelmed. 2 Corinthians 1:7. We're confident that as you share in our sufferings, you'll also share in the comfort that God gives us. God always has comfort available for you. We think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. We thought we would never live through it. That's a little overwhelming. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, because of going through all of that, we stopped relying on ourselves. You don't need to be in control. We stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God who raises the dead. If we die, so what? God's going to raise us up. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. Now, don't just fold your notes up right now and put them away. I know that's what you do. We're done. But wait just a moment. I want you to look at that passage. There's something there that's really important. Notice the use of, I believe, I'm not a good English person. I believe it's pronouns. Okay? Someone will correct me later. Or somebody will give me a gold star later. One or the other. I don't know. Notice, it's not I. It's we. It's us. He's not alone, is he? He's not by himself, is he? He's got people around him, doesn't he? He didn't push him away. He brought him closer. We learn to place our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. That's the truth, and that's what you do when you're overwhelmed.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.